going to dismiss our children to Sunday school this morning. So here, Miss Alice in the back, go to Sunday school. Now I'm just going to invite you just to stand up where you are and greet one another this morning. We'll just take a little break in morning. Greet one another. It may be some of you come in a little bit later. Good morning. Good morning. Morning, Greg. Morning. Morning. All right, let's gather back on in here together. It's like, oh, that's kind of nice. Visit in between and stretch our legs and say hi to one another. I hope you guys are looking forward to the new year, the new season, I guess, in September. We are. I'm looking forward to, we're going to be diving into the Holy Spirit and ourselves and the complement of the Word and the Spirit together. And we're going to be diving into our small groups that way, much like how we were doing in the past, where we'll have a sermon or a message on the Sunday, and our small groups will dive into that deeper during the week. So if you haven't been part of that, get plugged in. It's a great way of meeting new people, getting to know into the community, sharing with one another, and then there's also some teaching at the same time. This morning, as the summer is gone, we've been looking at the parables of Jesus, and this morning we're going to look at Matthew chapter 13, and if you noticed in Matthew, there's about 7-8 parables alone in Matthew 13, And the one that we're going to be looking at this morning is a little, little parable. It's only like two verses long. And so I'm going to get you to put your finger in Matthew 13. But first of all, I want to take us into Exodus chapter 33. And I want to read this passage to you and get you to focus and think about that. It's a conversation between Moses and the Lord. And this is how it goes. Starting at chapter 1, or verse 1, Exodus chapter 33, pardon me. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Go, leave here, you and the people you brought up from the land of Egypt, to the land I promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your offspring. I will send an angel ahead of you, and will drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites." Hey, pretty good, got through it. "Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you because you are a stiff-necked people. Otherwise, I might destroy you on the way." When the people heard this bad news, they mourned and didn't put on their jewelry. For the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites, you are a stiff-necked people. If I went with you for a single moment, I would destroy you. Now take off all your jewelry, and I will decide what to do with you." So the Israelites remained stripped of their jewelry from Mount Horeb onward. Now Moses, verse 7, took a tent and set it up outside the camp, far away from the camp. He called it the tent of meeting. Anyone who wanted to consult the Lord would go to the tent of meeting that was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would stand up, each one at the door of his tent, and they would watch Moses until he entered the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and remain at the entrance to the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. As all the people saw the pillar of cloud remaining at the entrance to the tent, they would stand up, then bow in worship, each one at the door of his tent. The Lord spoke with Moses face to face, just as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his assistant, the young man Joshua, son of Nun, would not leave the inside of the tent. Isn't that amazing? Moses would speak. The Lord would speak to Moses as a friend, face to face. And every time that Moses went to the tent of meeting, the cloud would come down. People would know that God was there, speaking with Moses. Verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, "Look, you have told me, lead this people up, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now if I have indeed found favor in your sight, please teach me your way. And I will know you and find favor in your sight. Now consider that this nation is your people." What's the picture here? The picture is the people have been very rebellious. And the Lord has given his promise to Abraham, to Moses, to lead the people into the land. And I will do so. I will give this land to you. So go on ahead. But Moses, I'm not going with you, with the people. Because if I was to go with you, with the people, I would destroy you. That's a scary picture. And in our minds, we're going, why would the Lord destroy his people? Moses comes before the Lord and basically is praying on behalf of the people. Is he intervening on their behalf? Lord, this nation is your people. Remember the covenant agreement between the Lord and Israel. I will be your God if what? You will be my people. If you will follow me, if you will obey me, I will be your God. I will be on your side. I will stand up for you. I will fight for you. I will intervene for you. But if you choose not to, I won't be your people. I won't be your God. So God replies to Moses, verse 14. Then he replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. If your presence does not go, Moses responded to him, don't make us go up from here. How will it be known that I and your people have found favor in your sight unless you go with us? I and your people will be distinguished by this from all the other people on the face of the earth. The Lord answered Moses, I will do this very thing you have asked, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Then Moses said, please let me see your glory. If you're having a conversation with God, and he asked you, if there's one thing that I could do for you, what would it be? What would it be? I need help with finances. Or, I want that person there. I want them to love me. Or, I want to have all the power and influence in the world. I want to be liked. I want to have lots of friends. Or that answer, I want peace on earth. What does Moses ask? That I might know and see your glory, your face. That's his answer. What's he saying? Lord, I want your presence. I want your presence to be this is the whole, I don't want to say it's an argument, but this is the whole scene. God is saying because those people, they're stiff-necked, they don't want to listen. I'm still going to give you the promised land. I'm still going to give you the gift of my blessing, but I'm not going with you. Isn't that a scary thought? The Lord will give you his blessing. You can take it with him, with you. But his presence does not rest with you. This is what Moses is scared about, fearful about. Because he knows, Lord, if you don't go with us, how will people see the glory of you? How will they know that we have your favor? Lord, if your presence does not go with us, I don't want it. How many of us would make the same decision and statement to God? Hey, we've got the blessing of the Lord. We've been given all this good stuff, and his hand is upon us. It's surely a sign. We'll just go. That's not the case here. When God makes an oath to an individual or to a people, it's an oath. He will do it. Whether it's good or whether it's bad. When he makes a promise, he says, if you will be my people, I will be your God. There's a choice. Promise has condition there. And God spoke about this condition all the way through the Old Testament and the New Testament. But he gives an oath. He says, I will bless you. I will give you the land. Your father Abraham was faithful and righteous. Because of him, he gave you this promise. If there's anything that we should hope to have and to seek in this life, is to have the favor of God. to have him rest upon us. Do we want that? Do we seek that? Do we intercede that way? When we see bad things happening, do we intercede on God's behalf, on our friend's behalf, on our enemy's behalf, that his presence would be upon us? Moses says, if your presence does not go, don't make us go up from here. How will it be known that I and your people have found favor in your sight unless you go with us? The Lord says, I will do this very thing you ask for, for you have found favor in my sight. Is God enough? Is he enough? Or do we have to have all these other things? You know, our worship team, music team, has done great. Leading us in music. We have one guitar. Three voices. Is it enough? Or do we have to have a full ensemble? See, with Moses, he's saying, God, you're enough. By yourself. That's all I need. Is that where we're at? You know, our relationship with God is that he is enough. Sometimes we may not get that thing that we desire, that we figure we need, but God goes, that's a desire. And God's going, you need me. And so we go, why don't I get that? Because he's going, I'm not enough for you. I need to be enough. Friend of mine, he was walking through a divorce. I walked through a divorce with him and spent basically 2 years walking with him, kind of putting things back in perspective and life back together. And you know what his biggest worry was? That there wouldn't be another woman out there that would love him because he was divorced. And I said to him, first of all, said, you need to do everything in your power that the Spirit tells you to reconcile that relationship. Exhaust every avenue. And he did so. He made amends. He made confessions and apologies where he had to. And he wasn't a bad guy. He lived in fear, actually. He lived in fear that he would not be walking in God's will, so it actually paralyzed him from enjoying life, going on holidays, these kind of things, spending a little extra here, maybe spending some money on flowers for his wife to show his appreciation. He just lived and grew up in a home like that. That you do this and you do this or else God will strike you. His perspective on God was that God was a God of punishment. That the moment you step out of line, he's going to shine that sun down on you like a microscope and burn you. And I said, that's not who God is. God is a God of love. And he knows that you're going to fail. He knows that you're going to fall. And he's still there, waiting for you. When you're broken and people break you, he's there. They're willing to put it together with you. And so his greatest fear was there would not be another woman that would come along and love him. That he couldn't because he was divorced. He said, you need to look at the scriptures. She chose to leave you. He tried to make amends. It was like this was the unforgiveness unforgivable sin. What's the unforgivable sin? Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. I said, this isn't unforgivable. God will forgive and has forgiven you. I said, what you need to worry about instead of if someone is going to love you, I said, is God enough? So, we walked through that over a period of time, and then he said to me one day, he says, do you think it'd be okay if I started, you know, dating? I said, by all means, hey, go ahead. You don't need my permission. But just remember, what's the motivation behind it? If you're doing this because you're not satisfied, you're not complete with God alone, it won't happen. So, you know, on the computer, a couple people, organized met. This is up in Peace River. So he's coming a long ways to meet a woman. And the first three times he goes and pursues his ladies, nothing happens. He's frustrated. Cannon, this isn't going to happen. This isn't going to happen. I said, Conrad, are you satisfied with God? Is he enough? I said, when he is enough and he has your heart, then you know what? That's when things will happen. He has to be enough. So, he comes to me a few months later and he says, you know what? I'm content. I think I've learned to be content. I've got to that place where I'm okay if I don't remarry, and I'm okay if I do marry. And I said, that's great. That's where we should be. Well, he had his profile on the computer still. And what happens? A couple weeks later, this lady makes contact with him. And they have this back and forth, and he comes to me a little while later, and he says, Shannon, interesting things happened. There's this lady who's contacted me on the internet, on this dating site, and she won't leave me alone. I'm laughing. I'm doing the same thing you're doing. I'm laughing. And he goes, like, she will not leave me alone. And I'm like, do you remember that conversation we had? When I said that when you're content with God and he's enough, then he will answer your needs, your desire. I said, this is what that is. He's like, what? I said, And another thing, why you're so disturbed by this, you're not in control. Right? How many of us like to be in control? Oh, come on. Yeah, come on. We like to be in control. I like to know, God, what's going to happen. I want to know the game plan. Is that faith? God says, when you step out in faith with me, you don't necessarily know what's going to happen, but you know God's going to do something. And it's going to be good. Long story short, they're married. They've been married for 5 years now? Longer now. 6-7 years. I had the privilege of doing their wedding. It was great. I had a good time. Is God enough? God enough. If everything was to crumble around us, around you, is God enough? We get tempted to say, well, because this is falling apart and this is gone and this is left and God's not in it. It's the enemy. It's the devil. Remember, God is sovereign above all things. There's no one more powerful. Nothing. And that God allows or even initiates things that happen or do not happen. There's nothing outside of his hand. So even the enemy, the devil, cannot do things without God's allowance. Would it, could it, is it? Because God's not enough. Is he more than enough for us? That's what really hit my heart this week as I was reading and by this passage. And us as a church, God has to be enough. Never mind all the other stuff. We don't have that music, or we don't have all these different programs. If we're more worried about those things, then have we taken our eyes off God? Because the thing that God has been talking to me about for the last month and a half, and saying it specifically, I will build my church. I will build my church. Not me. I will build my church. We need to be faithful and follow and be obedient. That's what we're called to. And love well. We love God, right? We love God, we have to love each other the same way. So, the parable of the householder, well, sum that up in like a couple sentences. This is what the verse says. Jesus asks his disciples, after telling all these parables, he says, have you understood all these things? I've taught these things. I've taught about the pearl of great price, the hidden treasure, the wheat in the weeds, the mustard in the yeast. These are all parables about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. This is the key of knowledge. This is the key that unlocks everything and makes everything sense. Have you understood these things? And they tell Jesus, yes. Jesus says, okay. Therefore, he said to them, as a result of your declaration that you have understood all these things, every student of Scripture instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who brings out of his storeroom what is new and what is old. When Jesus had finished these parables, he left there. What? What was that? Jesus is saying, you claim to understand these things. Therefore, every student of Scripture, every scribe in translations of Scripture, Jesus is attributing to the disciples, those that are following him now, as scribes. Scribes were those that taught the law in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. They were ones that were studying the law, that were to know it back and forth. They were the ones that were devoted to knowing the law and God's will. It says, therefore, every student or scribe of Scripture is instructed in the kingdom of heaven. They're like a landowner, a house owner, who takes care of the place, who is to feed everybody, that was dispense the goods of the place to the guests, to the visitors, took care of the place on behalf of the owner. That person brings out of the storeroom that new and old treasure. He's responsible to dispense it. What's the new and the old treasure in this parable? The teaching Old and the New Testament. And when you notice what is said first, that homeowner, that house owner, that landowner brings out of his storeroom, out of his treasury, what? The new first. And what is old? They're compatible together. They work together. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven here. We're not talking about the law of Moses. I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven. So disciples, you've learned about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. I've taught you these parables, and you claim to understand them. So if you do know these things and you understand what they are, you're responsible to dispense that truth. You hold that truth. You share that truth. Along with the old. Because you can use the teachings of old and re-fortify them with teachings of the new. What did Jesus say his purpose was? Came to fulfill all the law and the prophets. All the old covenant. And to fulfill it. The old law was incomplete on its own. Sacrifices could not cover and make atonement for man's sin. So something else had to happen, and that had to be Jesus dying on the cross. The new covenant in his blood that makes a person clean as snow. Jesus is more than enough. Is he not? Jesus is God. The Spirit is God. The Father is God. More than enough. When Jesus left our earth, he didn't leave us alone. He gave us what? The Counselor, the Holy Spirit. To be that one that reminds us of everything that Jesus has said that we care to learn and study. If we don't know Jesus and his word, and going, okay, Lord, don't really know who you are, haven't really read about you or anything, but remind me of what you've said. Can you be reminded of what you don't know? I'm not going to put God in a box, because he had the people hear Peter when he preached in their own language. But he's God enough. If I am enough, it culminates within us obedience. It culminates with what he says, I will trust to take his truth and do. I will be faithful. No matter what I face, no matter circumstances that I look towards, no matter where I'm at, I will trust in God, and he is enough. Is he enough? We are dispense that truth, that God is enough. He's more than enough. We are to know that truth. We are to learn that truth. We are to learn all the truths of God. And those things that we understand, we are responsible to dispense. We're responsible to share. Responsible to share the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, how to get there. Who to know? That Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God except through who? We are to hold on to these treasures and dispense them freely. Not pick and choose who comes to know God, who has the invitation to the kingdom, because God is not that way. This is our responsibility. And Jesus said this, now that you claim that you understand, that you have the knowledge, knowledge and understanding can be different, because with understanding comes doing. It's just not knowledge. Knowledge is only halfway around the circle. A lot of us think that we know because we've been instructed or we've read. But the last part of the circle has to be fulfilled, and that's applied. The Apostle James says, you talk about your faith, but I'll show you my faith by what? By what I do. The actions that I take. Jesus is saying this. You know these things. You've heard me teach them. You've seen me even do these things. You understand these things? Yes. Then dispense it. You need to do like that. And he says, I am always with you. The Spirit is always with us. Amen. Father, thank you that your word never returns void, that you're always faithful to it, that even when we're scared you show up, you ask us to take steps of faith and we grow and you show up. Lord, may we each be willing to take those steps that we're scared of and fearful of in those situations, in those places, Lord, and believe that you are enough. And that we would have your presence go with us like Moses desired. That your presence would rest upon us at all times. And Father, we don't want that your presence would not go with us. We would not want to just take your blessings and run.